Our next story takes us across the bay and right on point. This Sweet Nothing is a collective of women artists in Oakland. Their latest endeavor is reinterpreting a seminal work of contemporary dance for today's audiences. KALW's Jen Chien brings us the story. And a note for our listeners, this story contains mature subject matter.
Years ago, on a late May evening in Paris, an 11-minute ballet so scandalized audiences that it's still stirring discussion today. Afternoon of a Faun was choreographed by a 23-year-old Václav Nijinsky for the Ballet Russe. The dancers were barefoot, and the angular movement rejected the formal constraints of classical ballet. Then there was the issue of the subject matter, which was overtly sexual in a way that audiences of the time had never seen. The ballet was based on a poem by Stephen Mallarmé and had a simple plot. The Faun, a mythical half-human, half-goat character, sees some nymphs, mythical sexy maidens, and pursues them. He does not achieve his objective, but one nymph drops her scarf as they all run away. At the end of the ballet, the Faun lays the scarf on the ground, slowly lowers himself down, and
thrusts his pelvis into the scarf in a really dramatic moment and throws his head back and opens his mouth wide.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
Choreographer Sancheray Giles of Oakland has been thinking about Nijinsky's Afternoon of a Faun for about 5 years. This weekend, her dance theater group, This Sweet Nothing, will premiere Was It a Dream I Loved, an evening-length performance inspired by Nijinsky's work.
Try to be blind.
It's a week before the performance, and Giles and her collaborators are gathered at the Malonga Cascalord Center for the Arts in Oakland for rehearsal. Dancers are warming up, trying on costumes, or eating popcorn in preparation for a run-through of the piece. Video artist Heike Liss will project both recorded images and real-time drawings on the walls and performers. She says she draws inspiration from her home surroundings.
We were all very interested in working kind of locally, site-specific. So I really wanted to get all my footage from around Oakland and at the same time referencing that original piece.
Composer Caroline Penwarden has created a live musical score for the work. She says she was inspired by the original ballet's fantastical elements.
So there's kind of this blending of the internal landscape and the external landscape, and I feel like Nijinsky was similarly kind of blurring all of that. It was very much about nature, but also this sort of dream space, this fantasy space.
Choreographer Sancheray Giles says she admires the formal elements of Nijinsky's original work, but she's equally interested in the story's sexual content.
It was the first modern ballet, and it was incredibly controversial and scandalous because it was the first time that anyone had simulated masturbation on stage. So it was taboo and caused an uproar, and I find that fascinating.
Audiences in 1912 were shocked at the nymph's bare feet and the faun's thrusting pelvis, but today's theatergoers barely bat an eyelash at those things. Liss says the collective is not out to shock people, but it does want to challenge conventional thinking.
See, I think what's interesting is, and it's kind of shocking that this is still interesting now, but nevertheless true, the fact that our faun is a woman, and so... sexually proactive, a little aggressive, going after it, you know. So I think that in itself is still so taboo or complicated, you know.
Dancer Lisa Bufano, who gracefully embodies this sexually proactive faun, also happens to be a double amputee. She and Giles dance for part of the performance on custom-made stilts made from curvaceous Queen Anne-style table legs. The show actually includes several dancers with disabilities. Composer Penn Warden says that though audiences today may seem more sophisticated than those of 100 years ago, there are still boundaries to be pushed.
Just challenging sexual stereotypes, challenging gender roles, and even the element of having access, participating, and having people consider people with disabilities and the sexuality around all of that. We're not really trying to be political, but there's something inherently fascinating and challenging, I think, to people in how they respond to this.
Many artists have referenced and adapted Afternoon of a Faun over the years. From Jerome Robbins' 1953 version for American Ballet Theatre to Freddie Mercury's unitarded homage in the video for Queen's I Want to Break Free.
I want to break free!
There is something about this piece, even a century on, that continues to intrigue.
It was so controversial at the time, and it's so rich.
Again, Sancheré Giles.
And there's this form and classicism there, and beauty, and controversy, and scandal. And so I think it attracts us to continue to look at and examine and think about and rework.
I think you guys could be entering now.
Dancers sway and roll across the space in bare feet or on wheelchair wheels. The Faun stirs and stretches her sensuous, footless legs. Giles and Penn Warden discuss fine adjustments to the musical score as Liz hunches over her laptop, hooked up to multiple projectors and a computer drawing pad. As much as these artists have drawn inspiration from Nijinsky's original work, they are very much in the present moment, making something all their own. In Oakland, I'm Jen Chien for Cross Currents.